Evan, you got to say somebody's name. You got to say somebody's name. You got to find somebody who you're just going to throw their name out there.
Okay, okay. I see.
Samuel Lewis.
Dies.
Dies.
I like that I scream as I die. That's...
Yeah.
Welcome to the Comedy Bold Podcast.
Bingo, baby.
We're a whole podcast now. Imagine, yeah. Imagine Comedy Bold, and then we crunched it into audio files. That's what we're doing for you guys right now. And we have some wonderful people in the Comedy Bold studio here with us today. I am Evan Bold. As always, we do have Jordan Big Bear Jones right there.
Grr, baby.
We also have Navarro Peck.
Hello.
We've got Max Herman.
Pleasure to be here.
We've got Taylor Ellis.
Hello.
And we've got Cameron Pearl.
Hi, how are you?
Look at this. This is the Comedy Bold team right here. We do have some other team members, including a wonderful social media manager, Katie Herman, who couldn't be with us today. But we do have the six of us here today, and we are the Comedy Bold Magic, as you might say.
Yeah, baby.
Not to be confused with the Denver Magic.
An important distinction, mostly because none of us can play basketball. That was just an insecurity. I can't play basketball. I can't speak for anyone else.
I too am trash at basketball.
Yeah, I figured solidarity. Because the team is the Orlando Magic, so when you said the Denver Magic, I was like, he definitely doesn't play basketball.
Hey man, they got a transfer. You didn't hear?
Yeah. You know, they moved and everything.
They Alakazammed out of there.
It's now the Orlando Nuggets.
Yeah, that's what I thought, like, Cameron was going for, is, like, Comedy Bold, like, gold nuggets.
Oh, I see.
I didn't, if there's an actual team named Magic, then that's a fuck up.
Come on, here at Comedy Bold, we don't think our jokes through that well. That's not...
That is the exact opposite of what we are built for.
Okay, we're getting down to business, And business today is, the Comedy Bold team is going to go through some of the questions from the 36 questions... that make you fall in love.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get personal. We're going to get sweetsy. There might be some tears. We don't know. But whatever happens, it's going to be beautiful.
Fall in love with us, baby.
Bear, you want to kick us in for our first question?
Would I ever. If you could invite anyone in the world to dinner, who would it be? Who you going with, Navarro? What is it? Who's coming to dinner?
See, this is a high-stakes question because Navarro has a girlfriend.
Oof. Well, my answer should be Zaz's parents, probably. But I'll go with Howard Shore, composer of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit.
That's sexy, yeah, that's a good choice.
The way to his heart is through music, baby.
I mean, kindness, too. Like, the guy's Canadian, so, like...
Oh, my God.
That's just going to be a nice dinner all around.
Hell yeah.
He'll probably pay. You'll take
it. I mean, honestly, yeah. I'll say, like, pass the salt. He'll be like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to keep the salt to myself, and then hand it over.
Is that what you imagine dinner with Canadians are like?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Taylor, who are you taking to dinner?
Lena Condor, star of Netflix's To All the Boys I've Loved Before. Not if you listen to this podcast, but when you listen to this podcast, please hit me up. I know several great places to go. I will cover the meal. You're gorgeous. I'm hilarious and sexy. It's going to work.
Bingo. Bingo. That's what we love.
I love that.
The Comedy Bold podcast is officially being used to facilitate love, and I love it.
3 minutes into the first episode, no less.
We're going to be the new Bachelor.
All it is us begging people to go out with us and no one doing it. Yeah.
We all have the roses. We have the roses. Nobody's getting
I mean, that's what it is for all but one of the Bachelor contestants, right? So.
I mean, we're staying true to the definition of the word Bachelor. Bachelor means single. We're staying single. Dude. Oh, you guys are.
Love that.
Every single episode is just a different one of us making a plea to a famous person to go out. Daisy Ridley, if you're listening.
Evan, save it for the next episode. Come on.
I'm sorry, you're right. Daisy wouldn't listen to our first one. Come on, we need a little clout. She's hopping on in episode two.
I'm telling you. We're getting Daisy Ridley on here. It's going to happen. I'm speaking it into existence. Daisy, where you at? Show me what the dark side is about.
Cameron, who are you taking to dinner?
I think I would have to go with YouTuber Casey Neistat. you know, like, started the daily vlog and, like, just makes these incredible movies, and they're just on YouTube. And I just, he's one of my inspirations for content and just, like, a person.
E, who would you take?
I think I have to double down with Daisy Ridley, of course. I mean, not only is she a star of my favorite franchise of all time, but she's also Daisy Ridley.
Murder on the Orient Express.
I was about to say that! Yes! Dude, oh my God.
I actually have a stand-up concept. I don't know how to make it into a joke. I just think this is funny. And all that's written in my notes is, if I ever end up dating Daisy Ridley, I would just walk around saying her name all the time. And then I have underneath Daisy Ridley, Daisy Ridley, Daisy Ridley, and that's the entire note.
Daisy Ridley. I can't stop saying Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley.
Bear, who you taking?
Listen, I really want to say somebody like important or whatever, but I'm going to have to go with legendary comedian Joe Pera of the Joe Pera Talks With You show. If you haven't watched it, I don't plug television shows. I think that's lame. Get a life. Plug something else. I plug chess. I plug reading books. But the one TV show I will plug is Joe Pera Talks With You. He's a kind man who is very sweet, and he just talks with you for 30 minutes. That's it. He saves me from my deep anxiety spiral, so I just want to give him a hug.
Bear, hit us with the next question. Make it a little saucier, maybe a little less pathetic.
A little saucier. Before making a phone call, do you ever rehearse what you're going to say? Why?
Just like in my head, but like a bunch. I don't know. I wouldn't like do it in front of a mirror or anything. I just like play it over in my head and then like psych myself out and then mess it up anyway.
So the mirror is where you draw the line?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say it into the mirror. I might like say it to myself, I guess, but I feel like that'd be rare.
Fair enough.
I feel like Cameron's just trying to tell us he has voices in his head.
It's cool, man. I get it.
You don't?
I mean, I do.
Only one of mine says to kill people, so it's cool. Only one of mine is like murder, but like the others are fine. So it's like there's no problem there. Max, who you got? What do you do?
I don't know. If I've got like a complicated food order, I might say it out loud to myself again. But like,
yeah.
I generally don't overthink it. I'm just out there saying words.
Champion of the people.
Words to the people. Have you? Can you tell we spend way too much time on a podcast together?
Oh my God, we're both becoming the same host. I'm gonna have to get spicier. Uh-oh. Taylor, what about you?
I feel like indicative of where I'm trying to grow as a person. I used to be very controlling about how I would go about a phone call and plan it out, and now I'm trying to go with the flow. And it's working, I think.
Hey, we stand self-growth.
Yeah.
Character development.
Actually, Cameron was complaining this to me the other day. He said that he's the only one that he knows who hasn't had a character development moment. So I offered to hit him with my car.
just order an airplane ticket. Ideally, you don't know where it's going. Also, don't order a return ticket. Feels very John Green.
Okay, that's another service we could provide. Hear me out. You buy a plane ticket, but you don't get to know where you're going until you get on the plane.
How do you pack for that? Like, if it's Antarctica, like,
you'll be a little cold. Hey, Cameron, frostbite is character development too, man.
That's character death.
Actually, that pivots us fantastically into the last question we're going to tackle here, which is, do you have a secret hunch on how you will die?
Oh. Do I ever?
Hit us with it, Bear.
It's going to be in a cabin in the upper, like, Midwest of America in the dead of winter. I'm going to have a single dog, okay? I'm going to just one day, I'm going to feel it. I'm going to know. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to look at my dog and I'm going to say, I'm sorry, buddy. And I'm going to open the back door and I'm going to go, run, run! And I tell him and he just runs, right? He gets the fuck out of it. And then I'm going to open the front door, okay? And I'm gonna take the shotgun that's right next to my front door and I'm going to cock it and I'm going to walk outside. And I'm going to yell into the trees. And I'm going to say, you fuckers! I know you're out there! Come get me! I'm tired of these games! And from the entire tree line, every one of my enemies is going to walk out. all 57 of them, in counting. And they're gonna shoot me. They're gonna get me. All of them. It's just, get. And I'm just getting shot up from everywhere, right? That's how I'm gonna die. And I, like, know it. I've had visions about it.
That was so cinematic. I was not expecting that.
The comprehensive recount of the death of Jordan Bear Jones.
That seemed more like a prediction than like a thinking about how you're gonna die, you know?
It was a big hunch. It was very quasi. Yeah. I have like a real inclination.
Taylor, how are you gonna die?
How am I gonna follow that up? The best I can get is like hopefully happy, like surrounded by people I love. I don't have like a 5-minute sequence in which I battle it out with my worst enemies.
Navarre, how are you gonna die?
Well, trying to follow up on that is gonna be difficult, but my hunch is I really love the movie Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and in the end he's like furiously writing this score, right? And it's playing as, you know, the movie's showing it, and then he doesn't finish, right? And that's how I want to go. I just want to all of a sudden just start jamming on my piano, writing this score furiously, and then the last note I like draw and my pen like leads across the paper and it destroys the last measure, and then people are like, what the fuck was he writing? And then I die.
Would you just like haunt people who predicted like the wrong thing for the last measure?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like they try to finish it, yes. And I just pop out of the piano and be like, die, fucker.
And kill them.
I like the concept that all you do is pop out of the piano, say die, fucker, and then close the lid again.
No, you'd like take their hands from the keys of the piano, like bring them in a little bit, and then slam them on their hands.
How are you gonna die, Max?
I think just in terms of the way I spend my life and like the way I spend my time, there's a pretty goddamn like high chance that I will die on skis or on a rock somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And you know, much like Taylor,
wow.
If that happens to me, I will be surrounded by what I love, you know?
Damn. You guys have great, interesting lives. Jesus. God, I'm jealous.
Interesting theoretical lies.
Evan, how are you going to die, man?
My concept of dying, I don't know why. So I once predicted my death. It was going to be on, I have it written down, I think it was like January 16th when I was 88 years old. But since then, I think I've actually grown out of that. I think we went on a different timeline. I think that was a different Evan. The way that I've been recently thinking
especially
about it.
Especially with 2020.
we've deviated. We've deviated. The way I've been thinking about it now is, so I was born in the year 2000, and for some weird reason, I just, since I was a kid, I can't get it out of my head that 100 years is a complete life. Like, that is the life cycle. So I really believe that on my 100th birthday is when I go out. But I do want some dramatic last words in which I leave everyone on a cliffhanger, because that's the ultimate punchline, is not getting to hear the punchline and then dying.
Kirk Douglas, don't you know what I mean?
That's true comedy right there.
Kirk Douglas.
Cameron, how you dying?
Man, mine just feels really lame in comparison to all yours, but I think like a car crash or just like some random health complication just like out of nowhere.
Let's spice it up. Let's say car crash because you're Tokyo drifting and complicated disease because you're the first one to ever get it. They're going to name it after you.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
I mean, die with that, but...
Pearl's disease? Woo! Pearl's disease sounds fire, yo. I'm not even going to lie. That sounds crazy.
Are we spelling Pearl's disease with a Z or an S?
Z.
In disease, or...
Is
no, yes. Pearl. Yes. Pearl.
No, to answer Jordan's
Pearl's
question,
disease.
Yes.
Pearl's disease.
Yeah. Except for the S in pearls. Pearls spelled correctly.
Yes.
The
yep.
Z's spelled incorrectly.
Pearl's disease.
Pearl's disease. Also, I said, I don't even know who I said. What I meant was Kurt Russell, which was Disney's famous creepy last words. I said Kirk Douglas. To the family of Kirk Douglas, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that at all. I meant Kurt Russell. It's like the most famous last words of all time because nobody knows why. Walt Disney was just like, Kurt Russell. And we're all like, yeah, like, he's fine. And then he's just, yeah.
I wonder how Kurt Russell feels about that. God. Like, were he and Walt, did they, like, know each other?
I don't think. He was, like, a child actor who's in, like, a few movies a few times, which is what makes it a little creepier. Very weird. I don't like to think about it.
All right. This has been a wonderful...
Do you love us yet? Are you in love with us yet? Love me.
Really, all this podcast is revealing our insecurities and our need for validation.
Hit the nail on the head.
This has been the first half of the Comedy Bold podcast. Make sure to stick around after our nice little break. We have a wonderful, funny comedian coming in for the comic spotlight. Me and Bear interviewed him. Karen Menon, the woke TikTok king, as he calls himself. He's everywhere right now. You should definitely check him out, and you're going to listen to 5 minutes of stand-up coming from him right now before our nice little interview. But before that, let's say goodbye to our Comedy Bold team. Everyone, hit him with some outros.
Hey, don't hibernate on you, boy. It's Bear.
We'll see you next time.
Awesome to be on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Lena Condor, I'm waiting for you to hit my line. I'll be ready.
Hey, hello, yes, what is up? Yes, cool, yeah, I'm young. I'm healthy. And I'm well endowed. It's cool, yeah, my name is, it's hard to pronounce for some people. It's spelled K-A-R-A-N. And it's pronounced incorrectly. Hey, everyone, my people in high school called me Karan, like the book. Yeah, you can laugh at that. My substitute teachers called me Karen. Yeah, my mom calls me a mistake. That's a joke. She doesn't talk to me. I think the people who have the hardest though are the kids who are named after abstract nouns. You know those kids? Faith. Hope. You know, if you name your kid Hope, that's just, you're setting them up to fail. Bar is way too high for these kids. They can't embody that shit when they're older. I think we should be naming our kids with more realistic expectations, you know? Like, yeah, it's my son, Effort. My daughter, Participation. You know, she tries. She's not always the best, but she's there. You know? Yeah, I had an ethnic name, but that was part of the problem, you know? The thing is, like, you can't guess an ethnic name, you know? It's not like you're the white guy, like, I see you on the street, be like, look, Steve? You know? Yeah. You look like a Steve, you know, picked, like, from the list of 10 names that they all have. It's not, you've never seen a brown guy, be like, oh, you look like a Satya Prakash. You know? That does not happen. Yeah. People talk about like namaste culture and shit. My mom is really into that, but she's Indian, so it's allowable. She's very spiritual, and a great Hindu. And I'm from New Jersey, there are a lot of Indian people there. I thought when I came here, I'd be bringing the culture here, you know? I didn't realize that the white ladies were doing it for us. I called in every white lady at my work just like, I don't know, like making their own chutney, you know? Lighting their chakras. They've all taken a trip to India. Like, everybody at my office has taken a trip to India. They, like, fucking loved it. You know? Which is insane for me, because, like, I mean, I go, you know, like, India's a beautiful country, you should go. But, like, all these people, you know, you sort of tell, like, when you're a tourist, you sort of get like the cheat codes to a country, you know? It's like, go here, 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 avoid all the shit, go home, you know? When you go there to visit relatives, you get a little different experience. I think like tour guides, for every good thing they show you about a country, you know, they show you one bad thing. I think that should be the bargain. Like, this is the Taj Mahal, and this is an arranged marriage. Yeah. Don't look for too long, you know? yeah. What have I been doing? I've been listening to a lot of the Jackson 5 lately. mainly just to like alleviate the tension of what has happened to that group since then. Because you know? He was singing about kids then, you know? No, it was okay. When you're a kid, you like kids. It's like, if you were saying about adults, that would have been weird, I think. You know? What I'm saying is we all start off as pedophiles. And then most of us grow out of it. Michael Jackson, unfortunately, did not grow out of it. But you gotta give it to him. He was consistent throughout his life. Who he liked. It was... started with kids, ended with kids. I think it makes you wonder, right? Like, can you separate the art from the man, right? Like, people think about that all the time. You may not know this, but Hitler was an artist. He was back in the day. He was trying to get into painting school, and he was rejected. And then he went on to do all those Hitler things. So you gotta wonder, like, if he had just been accepted as an artist, like, would he have gone on to kill all those people? And I sort of think that's why we still let Pitbull make music. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just one trash club song away from Miami declaring war on the rest of the world. You see it in this song, he calls himself Mr. Worldwide. Like, he has the last few albums like Planet Pit, Globalization. Like, he has some shit's going on, you know? Something's brewing. And, like, all his songs, it's like, the party don't stop. You know why the party don't stop? Because the day the party does stop, the genocide begins. Like, <"Dale." laughs> That's cool.
All right. Okay. Welcome back for the Comedy Bold podcast. We're moving into our second segment, the Comic Spotlight. And you just heard a wonderful 5-minute set from up-and-coming comedian Karin Menon, who we have with us today for a nice little interview. Karin, hello.
Hello.
Indeed.
Hello.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm, I'm doing well. A lot of things happening, very busy, you know, just thriving, really, having fun during this gap semester.
That's what it's about, man. Yeah.
So, we just thought we would have a little interview here today, ask you about your process, who you are, you know, let people know why is Karin Menon?
No one's ever asked that, actually. That's a great question.
Good. That's what we like to see.
To lead in, because I'll give it to you, I guess, a little bit clearer than that. Maybe that's a little bit too hard to start. If you could describe yourself for the people who would be listening to this podcast, you know, what would you say? Like, what is your comedian dating profile like if you were swiping through?
My bio, yeah, I guess if I had to, you know, write a short bio, the thing that I'm doing now, so I am like a stand-up and like a writer, but what I'm doing now that's been gaining me some attention is I'm making these like short 60-second or less videos, putting them on TikTok, kind of explaining or like breaking down like current events issues or like just issues that are like have to do with social justice, but in a funny way, hopefully, and in a way that like helps you learn a little bit. Not obviously, I'm not gonna keep, you know, put all the information in there. It's only 60 seconds. It's a TikTok. It's a vertical video. You know, there's only so much you can do there, but it's just enough for like young people. People my age, people with low attention spans, to like get a grasp of an issue and also like be entertained at the same time.
Like, what kind of issues have you tackled with that?
Yeah, so a wide variety, actually, that you should ask. It started off with qualified immunity of all things, which has to do with police brutality. But that's how it kind of started off, because there was like kind of when that whole, you know, that period of time this summer, there was just not a lot that could be talked about, you know, besides, like, there was not a lot that could be joked about during that time. It was a very serious time. But people were talking about this thing called qualified immunity, which was, like, basically this law that just prevents police from being held accountable for their, like, for violating your rights. Like, it's like this catch-22 where, like, if they shot you in your leg, like, they have to look at a past case and see if a cop has been, like, convicted for shooting someone else in the leg. And it's this weird thing where, like, someone has to have been convicted in the past for this person to be convicted now. But if no one was convicted in the past, no one's ever going to be convicted. So I made like a video that was just me slapping myself across the face. It was like me playing two characters, and one of them just slaps the other guy across the face. And then he's like, yo, like, you should get in trouble for that. And he's like, no, well, no one else has gotten in trouble for slapping someone across the face yet. So because of that, he can't get in trouble now. So that was like a lead in, and that's kind of what got attention.
So that's awesome. You're bringing your comedy and trying to make it so it's relatable to what's going on. You're trying to make it so people yeah. can learn about what's going on and become more informed while laughing, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that also like is an appeal to people when they're watching. It's like, I'm not just watching some inane, you know, video. Like, as obviously everybody wastes their time watching stuff, like, why not feel like you're learning something? Why not feel a little woke, you know?
And is that what you find funny? Is that like, why did you start getting into comedy?
Comedy itself, it was just because I liked, you know, the attention, I think. I just like seeing people laugh. In like high school and stuff, but then obviously I could like be better like at actually doing it. I joined like a sketch comedy group in college. College is where like stuff really started like actually becoming more like honed in. Like I got better at writing sketches by joining this sketch comedy group, the Fourth Quarter All Stars. Shout out, you know, Four Quas. We were, you know, I got good at like writing sketches, structuring sketches, and like getting live like feedback from a live audience is like super important. Like even in stand up, which you guys know. But like you know immediately if a joke is funny or not. It's not up to you really, it's up to the audience. So by the time I got into like this new phase of comedy, which was like making videos about like current event stuff, I was decent enough at like making a solid sketch that I could apply it to any topic, hopefully. But I the way I approached comedy in general was like a complete nerd. Like it's like a science kind of, like just the way that you can break things out. Like the idea that like most people who get into comedy are like people who aren't necessarily like the funniest people in the world. They're just the people who are the most obsessed with being funny and like the most obsessed with like breaking down like what makes this joke work. Like if I say it this way, is it funnier? This way, is it funnier? And they'll like rework it like for hours until it's like the funniest possible. Like those are the people who we consider like the funniest people, but they may not be the most naturally funny people. And that gave me hope, you know, like I don't have to be the funniest person. I just have to be the person who's like most willing to like to spend the like put in the hours. Basically, it's basically just like it's a skill that you can hone, which I really enjoy about it. So
which is so funny, from because I mean we all know tons of comedians, and I think we can all agree that's 100% the truth. It's always like, how can this joke be funnier? What way can I say this? Can I say this 0.2 seconds later and it'll get a bigger laugh? Or what, like, you know, what can I do?
How does that work, if you don't mind me asking? Like on TikTok, is it really just like your engagement goes up if you're funnier? Like, is that what you're gauging?
Yeah.
How do you gauge if something is funny when you're putting it on the internet?
It's a very weird thing, because you can be funny with your friends and you know it's funny because they laugh. But then, like, to be funny for the internet is, like, a different kind of funny. It's like some of the jokes you make on the internet, like, if you said that in person to someone, they'd be like, why are you saying this to me? Like, it's not funny in person. It's funny for the internet. It's, like, a different kind of, like, language. So I had to like for a while I was putting videos out on YouTube that would get like a few hundred views, just like people who knew me. Like, and so for a while there was like a long period, I feel like everybody has this, where it's like, am I funny enough for like a mass audience, or am I funny enough for just like my circle of friends? So I just kind of like, with that one video that did well, I just kind of tried to repeat this, just whatever that was, like just try to capture that and repeat it. I think just whatever worked, do it again. So people liked, and there was a pretty big difference between the first video I did and the second video I did, but it was like the thing that tied them together was like they were about what was happening. So like that wasn't even necessarily what I wanted to do. I was just making, I just made a video to see what would happen. And then people wanted the current event stuff. And so I just kept doing that kind of stuff and then leaned into it and it kept working. So it's kind of hard to know when something's going to do well, but when it does well, you just kind of lean into it, I think.
Which it's funny that you say that. It kind of leads into our next question for you. You kind of already touched on this, but what advice? So obviously, you know, this show, the Comic Spotlight, we're trying to feature up and coming comedians, comedians who maybe haven't got the spotlight before because they're just as talented. And in theory, you know, there's lots of, like you said, there's lots of people wondering, am I funny enough just for my friends, or am I funny enough for a mass audience? And so, what advice do you have about, you know, what you've learned on your journey as a comedian, what has worked, what hasn't, about someone who would want to, you know, do what you are doing?
Yeah, it's like very hard to say exactly, because I think I've been trying to, obviously, like when a video does well, you're like, what about it did well? And then you're like, how can I just capture that essence and be funny all the time? And there's plenty of people I talk to who are super funny people, and it's just like, it's a matter of like when they pop off. It's not like if they're going to pop off. It's just like, when are they going to be recognized for that the essence of what makes them? Because you can tell when someone else is like, I feel like people have a better idea of other comedians than they have of themselves sometimes. But like, I know each of your, like, I know what your vibe is. And like, when you've made me laugh super hard, there's like a, there's something there that's like very unique to you. And for like every comedian, it's like that, like there's something unique to them that if they can just find that and just make that their whole persona, like in those moments, they're like the funniest. So like the way to actually go about that practically is just like make a shit ton of things. Like, I think that's the key, is just keep making stuff. Cause first of all, that just increases the chances that something is going to do well, and it makes you better at what you're doing. Cause you have to do a lot. You have to make a lot of stuff to like get better at it. Obviously, like the first sketches you make are not going to be the best, or the first stand-up like jokes you do are not going to be the best.
Bingo.
But I really believe it's just about hours. Like, I think it's literally just about hours and how much time you put in.
Yeah. Dude, that's great advice.
I completely agree.
That's excellent advice. What a champion, yeah. Most people are going to be like, dude, just be fucking funny.
I mean,
that was excellent.
I'm like kind of obsessed with this. I think about it a lot.
Well, in that vein, I guess, when you bomb, okay, like when you tell a joke and it's just horrible, whether you're on stage or you're putting out a video and it bombs, how does that feel and how do you respond? And sort of the opposite too, like when you tell a joke and it's incredibly funny and it just gets raucous laughter. How does that feel to somebody who doesn't know? Like, who doesn't know at all? Like, yeah. What is that feeling? I want to know about it both ways.
Okay, I can start with bombing. You know, it feels like death is around the corner. It feels like you know, you're like there and you make a joke and then there's like silence. I mean, initially, like now, actually, when I bomb, it's so common to bomb, especially if you go to open mics all the time. Like, the idea of bombing is almost scarier than what bombing actually is. Bombing is just, you say a joke, nobody makes a sound, and then you just go to the next joke and just keep going. Like, the whole point is you're trying to figure out what's funny and what's not funny. So, obviously, there's going to be stuff that's not funny. That's, like, the whole point, isn't it? If you're, like, unless you're just, like, a genius and everything you say is funny, that's, like, very rare. I don't think anybody is like that. So I guess it's just a perspective shift where like some people who say at mics, they'll make a joke, nobody laughs, and be like, all right, tabling that one, and they just move on. And it's like very systematic. They're like, oh yeah, nobody was down for that, and like that'll get a laugh. Like if you're just like lighthearted about it, it's not really that big a deal to bomb. And then doing when a joke hits, you know, you feel very, very important for a little bit. It feels really nice.
You can hear it in the sound of his voice. That little giddy feeling. It sounds like he's a kid on Christmas.
Kind of getting a rush just talking about
it. It feels really nice.
Yeah.
Dude, that said it all, bro.
That's amazing.
People are laughing at you. Wow.
Yeah.
Karn, we have to say thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for coming into our spotlight. We have one more question for you, just to kind of end things. For our listeners home. But before we ask, just to end on this, tell our listeners, where can they see more of you? Where can we find you? What's your handle?
You can find me everywhere, dude. I am at the Karan Menon. I took the and put it before my name. So I'm the only one. I'm the only Karan Menon. It's me. That's all it is. It's at the
Be definitive. Karan
Menon. You can find me on TikTok. You can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. I just put the same videos everywhere, so it's really not that much of a difference. You can find me on LinkedIn. I have 400 plus connections and working towards a solid.
Oh, shit.
Kid.
Okay.
Yeah,
professional.
Dragon, why don't you?
You can find me on Christian Mingle.
Okay. Karan, tell us for the audience at home. The last thing we want to know, we want to ask all our comedians this, why does comedy matter to you?
Why does it matter? It's kind of like where like people are talking about the things that nobody wants to talk about. Like there's pretty much nowhere else where people, I mean, there's like news channels, but people are saying things that you know they're going to say. Like you're going to a news, you go to CNN, you know what the people are going to say. You go to Fox, you know what people are going to say. But comedy is kind of like where people are just kind of pushing the boundaries of what can be said. Which is like, there's nowhere else where that's happening. Like, you're not going to get that, like, in your, like, just talking to your friends. Like, there's, like, literally nowhere, like, people are, like, trying to just think of things to say or, like, different perspectives on things that nobody has had before. That's literally what, like, that's the whole point. It's kind of like, it's like advancing kind of, like, society and, like, what can be talked about. Like, people weren't cursing in their offices, like, in their workplace. I mean, maybe they were, but they weren't, like, cursing on television, or what was considered cursing like 50 years ago, now it's like so much more lax what can be said on TV and stuff. I think comedy is like a huge part of that, like what can be said and what can't be said, and like censorship and like what topics can be talked about, and like just people talking about stuff that matters to them. Like it's just someone with a mic just talking about what matters to them. So it's like giving different people spotlights is very important as well. But I think in general, it's just a great way to like spread, you know, your message or whatever, like information, but in a way that people can will actually listen because they're being entertained. Like you're giving them something in return for them listening to you. You're giving them like entertainment. And like, if you go to a news channel, you're not getting that. Like you're just getting someone yelling at you, telling you what to say, like what to think, which is fine. Like they have, you know, they have sources, hopefully, but you're not, it's just not as fun. You know, I think comedy is just where people are like, you can get information and have fun at the same time. And you can talk about things that aren't being talked about. So that's one.
That's awesome. That's a great answer.
That's thank you. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah.
I am pretty brilliant.
Yeah. Own that, yeah.
We will wrap on that note, on the note that at the Karin Menon is brilliant.
Thank you.
Make sure to check out Karin everywhere. If you haven't seen his stuff yet,
please
he's
do.
Hilarious, absolutely hilarious.
So funny.
Thank you.
And definitely is making great changes and informing people and just doing a lot of great stuff. So please check out his stuff.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
This has been the Comic Spotlight on the Comedy Bold podcast. I've been Bold.
I've been Bear.
And we just had Karin Menon on, and we will catch you guys on the next episode. Thank you very much for listening.
Beautiful.